Pay everything concerning life and godliness. Everything. And we love to dedicate children around here. And so what we're going to do is I'll minister just a little bit from the Word of God. And then we'll ask Chloe and the family, whoever wants to come up and stand with Grace, to come up and stand. And we'll dedicate her to the Lord. I'd like for you to turn to the book of Revelation. And Chloe is a special little girl. And every time this week as I've prayed and prepared and thought of her, the primary thing that I would always get, and it's so obvious when you think of her circumstances, is how special she is to Father God and to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. How special she is. He divinely interrupted an abortion process so that this little child can be here with us today. He divinely broke down a car, contacted the mother with Grace Burney. And now here's Chloe. I don't know if you know the story. I don't know if you all are if all of us are aware of the story. That's God's hand working mightily. And we're so happy that Grace and Chloe are a part of our fellowship. We just love them. And I want to minister concerning this from the book of Revelation. Chapter 12, it's a passage that so fits her. It's a passage that so speaks of what God has done for her. And so I put it on the overhead because some people don't bring their scriptures to the house of the Lord. I wish that we always did, but so that we would all be able to see the power of this passage, I put it on the overhead so that we can read it. And if you have your Bible, you need to turn, you need to mark in there some things. It needs to be your roadmap, as you would draw in a roadmap, how you're going to get from Chattanooga to Atlanta, the road you're going to take or whatever. This is your scriptures, your Bible should be your roadmap. It's okay to write in there. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, in pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, and was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. Blessed be the reading of God's word. It is so powerful. Of course, this passage speaks of Jesus, but it always speaks of every child ever born. It speaks of you, it speaks of me at our birth. Parents, if you don't understand that there is a dragon trying to destroy your child from the day that it's born, then you just don't have any revelation about the spiritual things. If you don't understand that standing there, the moment your child was born, there was a war going on in heaven that was centered around your child, you don't have any spiritual understanding. You need to understand there's a war going on in a dimension, in the spiritual dimension for your child and for your child's life. And there's a real devil. There's a real enemy called Satan who desires to devour your child. He's there every day. He's there every moment. We've got to understand that this war in heaven was stimulated by, birthed by, this birthing of this baby. And your baby's birth, the time that your child comes forth, it stimulates a war over your child. And from that day on, you're in a warfare unlike any other thing you ever enter into. As a parent, if you have a child, if you're a parent with a child, you know what I speak of. From day one on, you're concerned with that baby's health. You're concerned with that baby's protection. You're concerned with that child's welfare. You're concerned with who that child's running with, who that child's with, where the church they go to, if they go to church, who they're, what trouble they're into or not in. And you're in a warfare unlike any other thing. And that thing's in the spiritual dimension. You're not wrestling with people. You're not wrestling with school teachers. You're not wrestling with principals. You're not wrestling with individuals. What you're wrestling with is an enemy called Satan. And that devil wants to destroy and devour your child. From the time that child comes in until you or that child goes out of this earth, you're going to be concerned with this warfare and with this child. And every day is a battle. And every day is a war. And this warfare was birthed by this child. And when you birth one, you're in a new war. And you've got to understand, parents. You got to understand, it's a war. It's a war. And we see this so vividly in Chloe's life and her birth. There was the devil, Terry, ready to devour the child. So vivid, so powerful. So powerful is this passage concerning this baby. I want to point out just a few thoughts from here. Just a few thoughts. It says her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. The only way that I am aware of to keep your child from being devoured of the enemy, of the Satan himself, is to get your child caught up into the throne, into the presence of Jesus Christ. That's the only way I know. Without a true relationship, a true serious relationship with Father God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, a true spiritual relationship. I'm not talking about a sinner's prayer one Sunday 5 years ago or some little altar service. I'm talking about a true spiritual relationship where they're caught up into the presence of God and they have an awakening and awareness of Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and Father God in their life. They will be devoured. They need to walk with Him and talk with Him and know Him. Lance and I went fishing yesterday. One of the things that we were talking about was this particular thought. That the thing that I want to do as a pastor is not to get you to read your Bible. Yeah, that's wonderful. It's not to give tithes and offerings and alms. That's good. That helps produce the kingdom and establish His covenant in the land. Deuteronomy 8:18. It's not to... for you to come to church every Sunday or every time we're here and be faithful to the house of God and to come up and pray for people. That's all good. My primary concern for you is to have a walking, talking relationship with Jesus Christ, with Father God, and with the Holy Spirit. Because if I can get you into that mode where you can have a birthing into Him, where there's truly a born-again experience, where something happens inside of you that you can't control, where something comes new inside of you, then I don't have to worry about you reading your Bible. I don't have to worry about you praying. I don't have to worry about you coming here. I don't have to worry about you giving, because you're just going to do it. And parent, without that born-again experience, without, now I'm not talking about a prayer where they shake a preacher's hand and sign a membership. I'm talking about getting caught into the heavens. Caught into the very throne and in the presence of God. Until that happens, until they're there, you'll be warring for that child. But once they're in that dimension, the devil can't touch them. He's out of their reach. So the first thing that I see here, two very important points. First one is that the child must be caught into the heavens. And there's another one. It also says there that the woman went to the place that was prepared for her. Mom, if you're not giving your child a spiritual example and you're just hoping something magical is going to happen and your kid will avoid being devoured by the devil, you are deceived. You must become a spiritual example. Now, it's very important for the man and the woman, but obviously this passage is talking about the woman. And mom, you need to have a place prepared for you in God. You need to know that there is a place that God has prepared for you. And you need to get into that place so that your child can watch you how you go through wilderness times. Right? Because if they see you defeated all your life, what are they going to be? Defeated.
But if they see you how to go through wilderness time, gaining substance, being fed, being nurtured in this place, then they're going to learn how to overcome and to be successful as well. One thing is you've got to get that child caught up. But the second thing you've got to learn, you've got to understand that you need to get into the place prepared for you, mom and dad. And God has a place prepared for you. Amen? And so two things happen that help this child avoid being devoured. Number one, the child has a relationship with the throne. And then number two, the parent has a relationship in the wilderness where there's substance and sustenance for the woman. And she begins to be able to help and to nurture and to take care. So those are the things that I really want to point out as we begin to prepare our spirits and our hearts for this presentation and dedication of Chloe Catherine Burney. The devil wants to devour her, as he does you or me or anybody else. And the thing that the family can do and that you and I can do is help catch the baby into heaven. Now, I can't do it for Chloe, but I can prepare a place for her mom. Amen? I can prepare a place where she can come and have a true relationship and a walk with Jesus and see people that are really living like this. And so this is what we're after here. Now, if you look with me in the book of Luke, chapter 2, this is a passage I always read at baby dedications. And it shows us here the absolute importance of making sure that our children are dedicated or presented to the Lord. Is it cool in here? Well, we're in a point. Are we fine? Okay. Never should ask that question, Judas says. You'd think I would learn after 10 years, wouldn't you? In Luke chapter 2, in verse 21, we find here that Jesus himself was dedicated. The very Son of God was presented or dedicated to the Lord. It's vital. The Bible makes, the Scriptures make a big issue of properly bringing our children and establishing and beginning covenant with them. And what happens here, and what we study in the Scriptures, thank you, baby. Thank you very much. What we find in the Scriptures and what we study there is that we find that the Bible teaches us a great deal about bringing the child. In this particular example, is a man child, is Jesus, and he was brought on the eighth day they were circumcised, and then after the time of purification, they were brought and presented to the Lord. Thank you. Please don't give this baby any more Malachi's, please. and so what they were brought and they were presented to the Lord. And Jesus himself was brought, and he was circumcised on the eighth day, and here he's brought and presented. Now, what you and I can do as parents is only begin the covenantal relationship with Father God. That's all we can do. We can't have it for them, but we can bring them and let it be a special occasion and a special time. And that's what we see here. This became a very, very special day, a very, very special time. And let's read the passage, or at least a couple of verses 21 and 22. And when 8 days were accomplished by the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. I know some of you visitors say, what in the world? This baby up there running around. Look, this is normal. This is normal. It's not bothering me, and it's not bothering those that attend here. So don't let it bother you, okay? We want our children to love going to church. We want them to have liberty and freedom. And we provide for them when it comes time. We provide a place for them to retreat to. But we want you to understand it's okay. If your child, if you're a visitor and your child wants to run around, it's okay. Now, if they get rowdy, you know, do something. As long as they're just doing like that, that's fine. It's not going to bother me. This was a very special day. And you see here that they took the whole family and they loaded them up and they went to Jerusalem. Amen. You see this? And they weren't living in Jerusalem. They just went to Jerusalem, okay, to dedicate the baby. So they took a little trip. They got a little vacation. They loaded everybody up and they said, hey, we got to go dedicate Jesus. Now, you guys have done a pretty good job here. Got the family together. Said, we're going to dedicate Chloe. That's the way it should be, folks. When you dedicate your child, get everybody you can to come because it's important. It's a special day. It's a special time. So I understand that this was very important. It was very special. And so they brought everybody to the house of the Lord in the temple, and they brought him in, and they began to present him to Father. And it was so important that here's Jesus Christ now, the Son of the living God, needing to be presented to the Lord. And what we've got to work into our thinking is that what they were doing is they were going through these covenantal stages. They were going through these covenantal stages. They had him circumcised, so that began the covenantal relationship. The next thing they're going to do is they're going to come and present him. That's another step in the covenantal relationship. And so what we've got to learn to do with our kids is continue on in the covenantal relationship and instructing them and training them in the way they should go. For the Bible tells us that if we'll do that when they're old, what'll happen? What about that? And so we become the woman. We become that person who goes and maintains that area that is prepared for us. We become examples for our children. And then they begin to grow with the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we continue on with this special covenant relationship, training them in the things of God. And so that's what we see here. So they brought him to the house of the Lord to present him to the Lord. They brought him to the temple to present him to the Lord. Now, the Bible teaches us a great deal about purification stuff. I'm not going to get into all that. It's just when it was time. When it was time. Some babies we dedicate around here, a few days old. Chloe's how old? 16 months. Bonnie was 17 years old. Amen? And some of you. But it is important that you be presented to the Lord. If it was important for Jesus, how much more is it important for us? And so we present our children to the Lord. It's very important. It's a primary thought here. It was important. They got the family up. They went to the temple and they presented him, Jesus, to the Lord. It's important. And the second thing I want to point out from this passage is they called his name Jesus, which the angel had told Mary before he was born, while the baby was still in the womb. And we always do this on our dedication service. We always emphasize the importance of the name. Names are vital. Names. We think that we name the child, but if you'll study scriptures, you always find out that it's really God who names the child. Zacharias didn't want to name his kid John. And what happened? He couldn't talk. He couldn't say nothing. He became dumb until he said, his name will be John. He wrote it down. His name will be John. And he can talk. Is that right? And we've got to understand names are from God. And when we understand that it was so important to name Jesus the right name that he sent an angel to Mary to make sure it didn't get confused. Jesus shall be his name, for he shall save his people. Amen? And so that's, we understand that. And we think we did it. But I'm telling you, I've seen people in the delivery room delivering a baby, and they're going to name it this. And then all of a sudden, when they bring that paper to sign the thing, what the baby will be named, they change it. And they don't understand. How many knows there's an angel there saying, the baby will be called? And so names are important. So I always like to emphasize that. Name is important. Your name is important. Your name speaks about you. I know you by your name. Doug, I know Doug by Doug. That's revelation. But see, when I say Doug, I'm thinking all kinds of good things. I know Turk by Turk. That's not his name, but that's what he's called. Right? Angel says, you shall call him Turk. And so, I always do this when I when I dedicate these children, I always do a little prayer and research to find out what their names mean. Now, what I was going to do right here was pause, and Allison was going to come up and minister song, and then we were going to bring the family up and dedicate the baby. But what I think we'll do is let me go ahead with this thought. When I finished it, then Allison can come and sing, and then we'll come and we'll present Chloe to the Lord. As I looked up these words, Chloe is a pure biblical word. I don't know if you knew that or not. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul writes, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are in the house of Chloe." Now, in this church at Corinth, they had some problems, had some dissensions. And Chloe reported this to Paul and said, "Paul, we've got to have some help. We've got this dissension in the body." And so Paul wrote back, and it was a response to Chloe. And what Chloe was a life group leader. That's right. And it wasn't a he Chloe, it was a she Chloe. Chloe was a woman life group leader. Ladies, and you preachers that don't think women should preach, Chloe was a woman who had a house church in her house. We call her a pastor today. And so Chloe was this woman of God who was probably quite wealthy because she had a house large enough and sufficient enough to have church in. She was probably a well-to-do individual who had come under the ministry of St. Paul and had come into a relationship with Jesus Christ through his ministry, and she's just had church in her house. And they were from house to house in the temple daily. So what we see here is that this individual is a pure biblical name. Now, what this person's name was, is we wouldn't say Chloe. Again, what we would say is Green, because her name means green. See? And that's what her name means. The definition, you look it up, it means green. It's the color green. And I'm telling you, names are important in the Scriptures. Green in the Bible is the color of life. Evergreens are always full of life. When the green goes out of an evergreen, then there's death. When the grass turns to brown, we know that the seasons are changing and that there's a hard winter that's coming. But when the evergreen, when something's green, we know that it's full of life and it's full of vibrance. And so this baby, Chloe, fit? See, I'm telling you, this means something. This baby is full of life. Now, I know that we don't see her at her bad times. We see her usually when she's awake and feeling pretty good. But she's always smiling. Her and Faith, they're just going around hugging each other and smiling at each other. And smiling at us, and they're full of life, and they bring life, and they bring joy to our lives. And so Chloe is going to be that way. Guarantee you, this baby Chloe is full of life. God intervened and divinely had an appointment with this automobile so that Chloe could be here today. There is a purpose for this child's life, and it's far bigger and far broader than any of you or I have ever possibly imagined. I am confident of that. I don't know if there's a missionary work waiting for her or what, but I know that God's got His hand on this baby, and there's a purpose for this child's life. Amen. Chloe. And then Kathy Rand. Now, this is the grandma's name, correct? I know how you say it. I know it's Catherine. But as I called this morning and I said, "Grace, help me spell these names," she said, "Kathy Rand." But it's Catherine. I know that. I know that. And that's Grandma's name. And she was named after Grandma. So the word means basically a bench. But as you trace it back, wait, that's good. This is good. As you trace it back, it goes back to immovable. It's an immovable bench. I'll guarantee you, grandma sometimes won't move. Am I right? But if you want to go and get some assurance and some rest and a place to have some, find some stability, is that her? And Chloe's going to be that way too. Chloe's going to be that place that you can go and just rest on and sit on. And she'll let you. And she'll just hold you. She's already holding faith. And, you know, and they're hugging. And I'm telling you, she's going to be full of stability. There's going to be times she just won't move. She's going to be life-giving. She's going to be assuring. She's going to be a woman of God. Everybody that goes to church here knows that our children are somewhat different. And it's not because we indoctrinate them. It's because we release them to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Much of our church is formed and formulated around our children. We have a school here for our children so that we can help train them up in the way they should go. We want to plant seed into their lives. They are taught the Bible, not doctrine. We don't teach doctrine, we teach Bible. You will find here at the church at Lafayette that our doctrine changes regularly. And as the Lord opens up something fresh and something new to us, such as this giving. See, that's just a part of it. Let me use that as an example quickly. You see, the way we used to do offerings was just like, you know, we just really did it quick. But how many knows if you were really in the old covenant and you had to sacrifice a lamb or an oxen or even a turtle dove, it would take a little time. It became a major part of the service. Major part of your day. And so we feel like this as communion and praying for people and the ministry of the Word of God, that also our giving should be a primary part of what we do. And so we began to see that in the Word of God. And we said we want to make our giving a more major part of our lives and more major part of our service. And so that's part of it. But we change. And so with our children, it's important to teach them to have an open mind to the things of God. Have an open mind to the Spirit of God. We try to train them to hear the voice of the Lord. We want them to have a relationship, not with the Bible. Some people need deliverance from the Bible because that's the only thing they know about God is what the Bible says. Now that's fine. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's wonderful. Don't mishear what I'm saying. I'm not saying you don't need to read the Bible. You know you need to read your Bible. But what you really need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if you have a real, true walking relationship with Him, walking, talking with Him like He's a real person, and don't have to talk in King James to Him, if you really know that He's just like talking to Kevin here, if you really talk with Him like that and really know that He's real, you won't have to have somebody tell you to read your Bible. Yeah, is this good, Terry, or are you just getting the joy of the Lord here? Okay. Anyway, we're going to dedicate Chloe. It's important. It's a special day. It's not to be taken lightly. It's a very, very special time here. And we love her. We love Grace. We love that family. And we really want to minister to them. They've been a blessing to our body, and they'll continue to be. And we love them, and we want to minister to them. So we want to do that now. We're going to let Allison come and minister in song. And then when she's done, if Grace, if you'll bring whoever up. Now comes a special moment. So if you'll bring her on up and...